Lead, guide, and direct this morning. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now, to this point, Saul is dead, and the kingdom, basically, of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, the kingdom of Israel, has been divided into two, where you got Judah supporting David, the tribe and the area where Judah has settled, supporting David, but the rest of them supporting Saul's sons, who have been appointed, the ones that didn't go to battle, the one that was left behind and took over, as we'll see as we get into this, and there becomes a civil war that's going on. And Joab fighting for David's side, and Abner fighting for Saul's descendants' side, had come up with basically a treaty, a ceasefire for a while. But we see that that doesn't last. As we get right into chapter 3, where it puts it very clearly. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. So even though Joab and Abner, up in chapter 2, verse 27, and so there it says, and Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they any more. So from that right there at the end of chapter 2 all the way to chapter 3 where it picks up, and lets us know that that treaty didn't hold. That did not last. They stopped, but it was a brief ceasefire and went right back to war. And they warred for a long time, as it says here. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. David was the anointed. David was the one chosen to be the leader, the king over Israel. So there was no way that Saul's descendants was going to be able to hold that throne or hold that position, because it was not God's will that that happened. So David became stronger and stronger. In verse 2, and unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Abnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom. Remember that name, Absalom. You'll see him come up quite a bit. The son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmah, king of Geshra. And a fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Sephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, but Eglah, David's wife, Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. So as you see, David is accumulating quite a few wives already. And he winds up with a whole bunch of them by the time he's done being king, but still, well, I won't get ahead of myself here. We'll see how his attitudes and his pride and his lust get him in trouble later. But as we continue in chapter 3, verse 6, and it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Resphah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Now, Ishbosheth is one of Saul's sons. Then was Abner very wroth with the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head?" That's an interesting saying. I don't know what he meant by that. Am I a dog's head? I don't hear that used very much, but that's what he said. "Which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman." Like, where do you come from accusing me of misbehaving after I've done so much for those that have followed Saul? And Saul's dead, so this is Saul's former concubine. So why was Ishbosheth so upset about it? And that's what Abner was coming back with. Why are you so upset about this for? "So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." So see, Abner has done decided that this whole battle that's going on needs to stop. He's the one that convinced Joab, and Joab had the ceasefire back over in chapter 2. And now here, he's appealing directly to David to let's make peace, and that he would bring, with his influence, help unite the tribes once again. Verse 13. "And he said, Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." If you remember, Michal was Saul's daughter that was promised to David when he was there, still there with Saul, and was taken away and given to someone else when David fled for his life. But Michal had been given to somebody else to be their wife by Saul. "And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused, to be to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Remember, that was the challenge that Saul had put out, hoping that David would get killed in the attempt to go kill this 100 of the Philistines. But he came back with his bounty and won over and was espoused or was engaged to Michal to have that marriage. But then Saul still wanted to kill David. Michal found out about it, warned David. David fled. And in Saul's anger, he took Michal and gave her to somebody else to be their wife. "And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phetaliah, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, Go, return. And he returned." So they were hauling his wife off, this Phetaliah. And he loved her so much that he was just running behind. You know, don't do this, don't do this. I want her back. You can imagine he was saying. But Abner finally told him to forget it. You go back home. And he did yield to that, because he knew if he didn't, they'd wind up killing him. "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you." So now Abner is making this attempt to make peace, to get unity once again in Israel. It's a very noble thing to be doing. But it's an awful thing that David has requested that this woman that he really never took completely and didn't have the wedding, it was espoused, which means they were engaged, to take her away from her husband. He's already mounted up several wives, as we've just read, and yet he still wants this one. You can tell little glimpses through the history here of David's life how he's a little bit messed up when it comes to pride and his desires for the women. Verse 18. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of their enemies. So Abner is trying to make this peace, and he's talking to these other tribes, and he's saying, you know, that it's already been prophesied that this is going to be coming about. This was the will of the Lord that Israel be united under David as king. Verse 19, and Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin he's speaking of here. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron. All this seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And David, the verse 22, and behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he hath sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. See, Joab didn't believe Abner's intent. He thought he came there just to spy on David and to deceive him in some way. Verse 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, and he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. If you remember, Asahel was the one that was running behind Abner, and Abner kept turning back and saying, don't follow me, leave me alone, turn aside, go after somebody else. And Abner stabbed him with a spear while he was behind him, just the back of a spear, and just pierced right all the way through him and killed him. Joab hadn't forgiven Abner for this. And now Joab has an opportunity with Abner wanting peace, comes to him and talks to him, would have that meeting because he thinks he's already made this covenant with David. And here Joab is, and Joab is just intending on killing him. And he does. He stabs him and kills him. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm guiltless of this. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai Yeah. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab, to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fallest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, that whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. They were impressed and pleased at his obvious mourning, and respect and honor was being applied toward Abner. For all the people in all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. He's, of course, talking about Joab that had killed Abner. Right on into chapter 4. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other, Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite of the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin, and the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, yeah, and the Beerothites fled to Gittaim and were sojourners there unto this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothites, Rechab and Baana, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and his seed. They apparently didn't know David very well. He would not have approved of such actions. They were in the midst of trying to have a treaty and bring everything together. And this surely wouldn't help that. And in all this, you got to remember, this is all a bunch of cousins. They're all descendants of the children of Israel. They're all cousins. But yet we're having all this feuding going on, all this fighting. Because they're not listening to the Lord in wanting them to come together in peace and do the Lord's will, they're too busy fighting amongst themselves. Chapter 4 and verse 9. And David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that he would have given him a reward for his tidings. He's reminding him of that man, if you remember, when 2 Samuel started, that came and claimed that he had killed Saul, but he hadn't. He just come upon him and stole his crown and his bracelet and come telling David, like, look what I've done. And it got him in trouble and they had him killed. And he's pointing out to these guys, you would have thought that, yeah, I would have rejoiced over Saul's death, but I didn't. And as he continues, how much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood on your hand and take you away from the earth? And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. So you see, these guys got in a heap of trouble because they thought they were going to be doing something that David would approve, just like that other guy who was lying thought he was going to be telling David something that he would approve. And doing evil will never get rewarded. And that's what David is pointing out here in this example he's making of these guys as well, to go kill Ishbosheth while he lay there sleeping. Right on into chapter 5 here. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Like, okay, Ishbosheth, the one who was currently leading the other tribes, is dead. So now they all decided, well, it's time to make peace. And they all came unto him and finally come to the realization that they are all kinfolk. Verse 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadeth out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron for the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Finally, he's able to take his position as king over all of Israel, all the tribes united again in peace. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took stronghold of Zion the same day in the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem. And it goes into all these names, which I am not going to try to pronounce because I will totally mispronounce them, but they go all the way down through to verse 16 and on into verse 17 here. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephoim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." If you notice, all the way through from chapter 1 all the way here, there's very little communication with the Lord. Finally, they're back on track. Finally, they're going up against the Philistines like they were supposed to do. And is communicating to God, and God's telling him, "Yes, go ahead. Get back to the work that you're supposed to be doing," and that is clearing the Philistines out and protecting the children of Israel. And David came to Baalath-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baalath-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. We'll pick it back up here in verse 22 as we continue seeing how he has gone up against these Philistines again, as the Lord had willed them to do that, instead of fighting each other. And finally, they're back on track. But let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. All this history, there's so many lessons in here. Help us to understand those and apply them to our lives and share them with others as well. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.